What do these things want, and why are they here?
You still don't get it, do you, boy?
They have recruited the rich and the powerful.
They're running the whole show.
Wake up! They're all about you, all around you. Blinded us to the truth.
Take a look.
They are safe as long as they are not discovered.
I don't know what they are or where they came from, but we gotta stop them.
Stay away from me.
Put these on.
They have us.
Look at them. They're everywhere.
We have no other choice.
I don't like this one bit.
Leave it alone, man. It ain't none of my business. Ain't none of yours.
We have been lulled into a trance.
This is what I'm saying to you.
We're in trouble. The whole world's in trouble.
Control us!
You're sending some kind of signals on a TV set.
I've got one that can see.
Mama don't like tattletale.
People, welcome to Throwback Tuesday, episode 111. I'm out of energy now. I don't give a fuck no more. This is the second time we've done this shit, people. I fuck this movie. Fuck it down the ground. I thought about it over the long hours that we did it, and I was just like, you know what? The hell with this fucking movie is for making me do this over and repeating what I have to say again, which is I don't fucking remember, because I'm gonna tell you this right now. Once I've already talked about a movie, I've already forgotten about it, and I've already forgotten about this.
Damn.
Yeah. So fuck this movie. I'm talking about They Live, people. I'm your spoiler host with the most phenomenal one.
This is Z.
And Z's like, well, I still like it.
It's a cult movie.
I don't give a fuck. Fuck the cult. I don't join cults. I'm not a Scientologist.
No, you just joined the KKK.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Hey, they're looking for equality.
They are now.
They better be. Sure, because I'm in charge of it. Why do we gotta talk about this? Get plot synopsis. I don't want to talk about this. God damn it.
They Live, directed by John Carpenter, starring Roddy Piper.
I've heard this already.
Keith David, Meg Foster, budget $3 million, box office $13 million, and Roddy Piper is a drifter going into L.A. and stumbles upon a alien invasion that he can see with sunglasses. They join the rebellion to stop them. That's the only thing I can picture on that plot.
Yeah, it takes people, it takes you about at least 30, 40 minutes to, and a movie only like an hour and 20 minutes, it takes you about 40 minutes to actually understand what's going on in the film, because you don't really know what the fuck's going on. You just see Roddy Piper working, common man, blue-collared man, if you will, which, by the way, I gotta say it again, I thought Roddy Piper did a great job in this film. I didn't know he was that great of an actor, to be honest. Probably the best wrestler to actor in a film I've ever saw.
Even,
other than The Rock.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Been a great one.
Yeah, no one's touching The Rock.
No, I wish I could touch him. I'd touch him all over. I'd touch the fuck out of him.
That's why you have your restraining order.
Hey, hey, shh, don't tell nobody. Hey, Z, oh, that Z, he's a jokester. That guy. That guy, always joking, man. Always just shut the fuck up, Z. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, alright, man. Yeah, but, one other thing, too. Rest in peace, Roddy Piper.
Very much so. Yeah.
May you smash Jesus with a coconut bottle. Or an actual coconut, for that matter, like you always did to warm our little warm hearts. One of the best heels in professional wrestling, still, especially on the microphone. I mean, his microphone skills were fucking phenomenal.
No pun intended.
Oh, it's a pun intended, all right.
Oh, okay.
I am the Roddy Piper of movie spoilers.
I can see that.
Yeah, I'll never win a championship, and I'll just still keep talking shit, so, yeah.
And film sats out Hulk Hogan.
Oh, motherfucker! Oh, God. I can't wait for him to die. Oh, I take that back. Never mind. I like that he's alive because he can continue to keep making sex tapes.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, quick question now. You bring up a great point, man. So you think when Hogan dies, do you think that wrestling will acknowledge his death since they fired him?
It depends. If he dies tomorrow, I think they will. Because that would be... I mean, he was a hero to how many kids in the world in the 80s?
Yeah, but you know, wrestling, they don't want to ruin their image. Remember, it's a business now. It's got a lot of money riding on it, especially since the stock's open and stuff like that. So, Do you think they would acknowledge him after the racist comments he made, though?
I think they would.
I don't think they would. They've done this before where they don't acknowledge people that in. They did it years later. Like, decades later. I don't think they would if he did die now.
It's really hard to say. Because his is a lot different than anyone else's.
But you remember what Vince McMahon always says. Whatever the fuck it is. WWF has always been bigger than one man.
Yeah, that's his motto.
As much as Hulk Hogan has done, you've seen how long they've kept Macho Man in the shadows.
Yeah.
Because of his alignment with, possibly messing around with Stephanie.
Yeah.
So, I don't know about that. Remember, people had to fucking put up petitions and shit to get Macho Man in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Because they did not want to put him in there. So, if Hulk Hogan died today, people, do you think that they would honor his death after all the comments he's made?
Which are very serious comments.
Hell yeah, because you know WWE doesn't want to be in that limelight.
No, they
like
don't
I
want...
said, they're a business of multicultural and different races and religions, and they're worldwide. Do you really think they want someone that don't like a certain race on there, which is probably a good portion of their demographic?
They are publicly traded company, which is a huge thing.
Especially with that new network of theirs that's was doing poor at first and is now just doing okay. It ain't doing great, but it's doing okay. So do you think that they would waste all that just to celebrate one man?
Do you think if he dies, anything will be water under a bridge because he's dead?
No. WWE don't do that. they don't do that. Let me ask you this. Is Chris Benoit in the Hall of Fame yet?
No. That's different, though. That is different. He killed somebody. He killed two people.
But that was medical reasons, too. Yeah, I don't hear nothing about that doctor. And WWE isn't doing anything about their concussion tests or anything like that still. Because he's still got a couple of wrestlers still.
Yeah, you're right.
And about that. So, I don't know if that's different nowadays. Saying, I don't know, calling black people out niggers, I don't know, that's a totally different thing.
Hogan was just born in the wrong era.
For a business decision, what Hogan did was probably worse. For a moral business standpoint, what Benoit did was worse. Because what Hogan did, he isolated a certain demographic of saying, why the fuck would I support this now if they tolerate this?
Yeah, you're right, because... Wasn't there a study? Wasn't there, like, more black people than there are whites right now? A very small few?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, like, a lot of the other, like, athletes, when they go to towns, they kind of promote the...
Yeah.
And obviously, we all know that most of the athletes are black nowadays, so... so yeah, that's a pretty big deal there. Not to mention, The Rock is black, so... He brings some income revenue to WWE when he's there, so I'm just saying. Let's put it out there right now, Z.
Now think about it, I think they'll just probably do that little respect, you know, the 10 bell thing. And then that's probably it.
I know Vince McMahon would be like, you better keep that nigga hate motherfucker, orange motherfucker away from my millions, shit. Shit. And away from my daughter. I don't want him and Macho Man running a train on her.
But, I don't know.
Macho Man telling Jesus right now how he ran a train on Stephanie right now.
We'll see when that time comes. I mean, if he's not in the spotlight for, say, about a year or 2 years.
Which he probably won't be.
No, he's not. He's an egotistical fucker.
I think he's done for right now.
Yeah.
That'd probably give him a reality show about it and be like, hey, tell us why you hate niggers. But, you know, other than that, yeah, I think he's pretty much done.
Yeah, I'm not.
Because most of the people they celebrated their deaths, like, you know, Dustin Rhodes, Roddy Piper and shit, they never had any of this shit on them.
I'm not really, sad.
For Roddy Piper?
No, Hogan. Piper, yes, Piper.
Hogan's overrated anyway. I never liked Hogan.
Piper's sad because that was extremely unexpected.
Kind of came out of nowhere because he seemed to be always appearing now and then or whatever and stuff, and he seemed to be in really good shape.
Yeah.
For the most part, I don't know how old he was, but it was a heart failure, right? He died on.
I believe so. I didn't hear what the coroner did.
Okay. Well, sucks for that. I mean, we've been losing some great ones that were perfect on the fucking mic, man. They had so much charisma on there. And then you, like I said before, the last one we got, Ric Flair. Woo! I mean, shit, when he dies, man, that's a done deal, man.
What do you think what happens when The Rock dies?
That's not gonna happen, see?
Yeah, it's not. God doesn't want him up there.
Yeah, The Rock can't die, so that's just not gonna happen. So, I mean, The Rock is probably the last great person on the mic, general. Oh, well, next to, The Rock is probably the last great person on the mic.
Jericho. Jericho.
Jericho ain't gonna die. I mean, he's Y2J.
Yeah, he's not.
He created the Ayatollah of Rock and Roll. Like, he can't die. What are you talking about? Jericho's a pretty motherfucker, too, by the way. I would fuck the shit out of him if I was a Jericho.
Oh my god, The Rock and Jericho at the same time.
Oh man, talk about charisma overload. I'd bust a load just being in their presence. By sitting on a couch next to him, all you hear was, oh. That'd be me. That's why I wanted to win that award last year, whatever. Can you imagine Jericho handed me that award? I'd be like, oh, God.
You'd be like, no, you just keep it yourself.
Yeah, you keep it to yourself, man. Let me have that light jacket you got. Let me have one of those. Can I get a one time? Can you put me in the walls, Jericho?
One time.
It'd be an honor for you to break my back.
Yeah, one time.
Yeah, one time, yes. And as long as you pay for those hospital bills, too.
Yeah.
Rich ass. But we were here to talk about They Live, 1988 cult follow film that still gets parody today for its famously 6 to 8 minute fight scene that they have with Keith David and Roddy Piper, where Roddy Piper is trying to get Keith David to put these glasses on to see what he sees, and Keith David's like, look, I told you, man, I won't put the goddamn glasses on. And he's like, you son of a bitch. You can tell when somebody's pissed off the way they say son of a bitch. When you say son of a bitch,
that, yeah.
That's when your countryside kicks out and you get angry.
And I think Keith David's from the South.
I think Keith David is, yeah, but Roddy Piper's the one that said it.
Yeah. Well, he's Canadian.
I don't know where the fuck he's from.
He's from Canada.
Oh, God. Damn, you know, a lot of great talented wrestlers come from Canada, too. I don't understand that, because I didn't think Canada had talent, so. I didn't even know Canada was a real country, so.
It's a 50.
I don't think it is, but
it's our 52nd state next to Puerto Rico.
Oh, okay, well, if it's just as legal as a state as Puerto Rico, then, oh, okay, cool. Because like South Park said, it's not even a real country anyway.
No,
blame Canada! Blame Canada!
But yeah, the fight, which is spoofed in South Park, and a very hilarious fight scene in South Park.
Triple fight.
Which one was better?
Oh, the cripple fight, I'm sorry. It's a cripple fight, man. That shit was hilarious, because you know why it was hilarious? You had that one guy at the end of the cripple fight that said, alright, you two, break it up now. It's time to be done after it was already done. Cripple fight was awesome, man. I love the shit out of that cripple fight. And you got Eric Cartman running around to everybody talking about cripple fight. And I mean, you gotta be honest with yourself. Even if you was at a grocery store and you heard someone yell that, wouldn't you go watch?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I would too. Somebody told me I was wrong for that. I was just like, come on now. When have you ever seen two crippled people fight each other?
Never.
Especially one in a wheelchair and one on crutches. I would be taking bets at that thing and be like, right, my money's on the boy in the wheelchair.
Well, Michael Vick can organize it.
Well, Michael Vick's too busy organizing the legalizing cat fights right now.
Okay.
Yeah, he's moving up on animals.
Okay.
Yeah. He's realizing that he needs to go smaller and think a little bit tinier. That way he doesn't get caught quick.
He's on his way.
Yeah, of course, man. Come on now. Don't doubt Michael Vick now. Brothers know how to improve themselves. Which, by the way, there's a scene here where Roddy Piper should have died, and that's when he got knocked upside the head.
And out the window of a 3-story, maybe?
Man, that was a hard... Man, that was a long-ass fall. That's all I know. That was a very long-ass fall. If that fall didn't kill him, that glass shot or whatever that was upside his head should have killed him.
Yeah, and he... That's why, you know... Like, okay, example. Like, Edge of Tomorrow. We both love that movie.
Love the shit out of it.
When he can repeat his life, when Tom Cruise can repeat, he's dying over the simplest things. But when he can't die, he survives the craziest things.
What did he survive that was crazy?
It was towards the end, there was an explosion and he like flew and hit the side of a wall.
Damn, I don't remember that.
I think it might have been, maybe it was when, fuck, what's her name? Emily Blunt. When she blew up or sacrificed herself.
Oh, no, I remember that. Yeah, no, he didn't hit the side of a wall. He was on top of a car and it threw him across against a wall. Can't die from that.
Okay.
Hey, I remember this. It was when they were in that cabin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. There was a car that came by and, like, the breeze flew him back when he hit the side of that wall and shit. Or that cabin, at least.
Yeah. But, yeah, this is a classic 80s movie because you had him firing guns and not aiming, just kind of just going swaying back and forth.
Well, you know, here's the thing about this movie's a little weird. I mean, it definitely was ahead of its time, that's for damn sure. Said it before I say it again, it definitely was ahead of its time. Had a lot of cool elements added to it, but there's a lot of problems with this film, too. I see why it's more of a cult following than it is anything. One thing is that Roddy Piper, as good as I think he is, his character does a complete shift from, I mean, you know, I know that the movie's only like an hour and 20 minutes or something like that. It's really short, so it kind of just gets into the motion, but when he finds those glasses, I mean, he just seems like a typical blue-collar worker, right, that seems to be doing. He even says to himself, he's just like, you know, I'm just looking for work, and I believe you can make it in America and do the right thing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But when he puts those glasses on, it's almost as if, I don't know if those glasses brainwashed him too or something like that, but he was bloodthirsty after that.
Yeah, just, he went, what, he sees, he, one, out of everyone, he picks a fight with the lady in the grocery store.
That old lady, yeah.
Saying how ugly she looks.
She was fucking ugly, though.
Then he takes all these... Then he beats up some cops. Takes their guns. Then walks into a bank. And just goes apeshit.
Shoots them.
Yeah. Because he's all out of bubblegum.
Shoots them people. From him, when he puts up glasses on. To be more of, like... freaking out for about 20 minutes or trying to realize what's going on with the subliminal messages going on, but he kind of reacted to them quickly into violence.
Yeah. Well, when he went to what's-her-name's house, Holly's house, he said that the glasses were like a drug?
I don't remember the conversation.
He was saying because it's like the glasses were a drug, it was like kind of... Because if you leave them on too long, it fucks with your head.
I guess. I don't know if... I think that was a metaphor. I don't think he was saying that necessarily it's such a fucking drug. Like, you take it and bam, you're high or something like that. I think he's using that metaphor. It's a drug because it alters your mind. You start to see things that you don't see when they're not on you or something like that. I don't think he was saying that literally. That okay. It's a drug.
Okay, that's... Okay. I was confused then. Because waste...
Yeah, the plot don't tell you anything until like 40 minutes into it, so it's okay to be confused.
No, which is that's a major downfall in the movie. That people don't talk about that. They talk about, oh, the glasses, how cool Piper is. They don't talk about the first half hour, 45 minutes.
Because you know why? They're going to get shit for it, just like we are. but here at Movie Spoils, we're the voice of the voiceless. We don't give a fuck. We talk about anything and everything, and we don't give a shit. We get shit for it. But you know, the thing about that, too, is... And I said this earlier, is even though I think that is bad filmmaking, first of all, I like that you don't have a, like, especially if you're filming, I guess if it was 2 hours long, then maybe you could be like, okay, then that's cool, but for being only an hour and 18 to 20 minutes or something like that, and, you know, you go through this motion of, you don't get to the actual, you know, as a matter of fact, you still really don't know what's going on even 40 minutes. You kind of have ideas, and you're putting it together yourself, because, you know, we're experienced movie viewers and stuff like that, so, you know, we can kind of put the puzzle of what this movie's going to be like.
Yeah.
But it didn't bother me that much watching the first 30 to 40 minutes, even though I don't know if this is because Roddy Piper was, I liked his character, they were kind of charming in a way, or was it more of just like, I'm curious to see where this goes, because I know that this film is a cult following, so I kind of want to see what gave it that cult status. So I don't know if that was the reason why it didn't bother me or something, but I don't know. I will give it its criticism on that, and I agree completely with you for that, but it was one of the things that really didn't bother me to the point that I actually hated it for some reason.
Well, I'm not saying I hated it. I'd say it was bad filmmaking.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, what does that do for you in your review? Does that, like, drop a rating, half a rating? Like, what does that
well,
do for you?
Well, you said it when the first time we did this, that they didn't know how to end it. Because it kind it ended abruptly.
It ended like that movie, Devil Inside. This fucking black screen goes on. He's like, what the fuck? That was a fucking ending? Are you serious?
That's exactly, I mean, it's not...
It's not as bad as that now, don't get me wrong, shit. But it is one of those things where you're just like, I just watched an uncompleted film, and when I rewatched it, I remember the first time I saw it, it ended that way, and when I rewatched it, I said, damn it, I must have got the wrong clip. There must be a longer fucking film, and I got this short version of it or something like that. No, I had the right version.
Yeah.
I had the absolutely right, because people can watch this on YouTube. Like I said, it's easy to fucking find this movie.
As soon as he gets the glasses, it pretty much, it picks up. And it seems like a different movie.
Oh, so is it different in a bad way as far as going from Dusk Till Dawn, or different as in...
Yeah.
Okay, it caught my attention. Where are you going?
It's different like Dusk Till Dawn.
Which one did you like more then?
This one, because the first act of Dusk Till Dawn was the interesting part, and then it changed. This one,
well,
it's...
I mean, which one you more like, for, like, out of Dusk Till Dawn, I mean, like, from, is like the beginning or the second half of this more?
I like the second, I like the second half.
Yeah, I can see that, because, what's his name, Roddy Piper is more, let's just say, I don't want to say outlandish, but more, he has a little bit more charisma to work with, if you will, because before then, he's just a simple, one-note kind of guy.
Yeah.
Where this one could have been one of those badass 80s action films when it gets to the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And when the first one, it's just like, okay, am I watching a movie about a guy that's just trying to get money to work his way up or something like that? I don't want to watch that.
That's what you get. You get what the whole opening credits is just him walking.
And I was even going to say, what was his obsession with watching that church?
I don't know. There could have been more of a backstory with him. I'm not sure.
Because he was watching that church for the longest, man. He watched it all night, remember? Because the cops came and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I got kind of lost with that shit.
Yeah, like, how did the cops find out it was them?
They keep David getting all paranoid about his own ball. Like, I got a good thing going and stuff like that. You need to stay away from them. And it looked like Keith David kind of blamed him for the incident that happened when the cops came and raided the place, because Keith David and him saw each other, and Keith David just looked at him and was just like, this is your fault or whatever. It's like, how is it his fault? He just had binoculars and was watching from a far away point of view.
Well, you need a... I don't know. I mean, Keith David, I liked him on there. I think one of the biggest bullshit things was his death. It just kind of happened. It literally... Oh, Roddy Piper leaves the room. Oh, you don't even see Keith David get killed. I mean, fuck you.
Yeah, Keith David has always been that guy that's been shafted. I think he's a great fucking actor, underappreciated too. One of the best talents, black talents working in Hollywood as well. Does a lot of voice work, because he has a very unique voice to him.
Yeah, he's got...
A lot of black guys in Hollywood that have a lot of great unique voices.
Like, the casting, Piper, good. Keith David, good. Meg Foster, absolutely terrible, because she shows literally no emotion at all.
Oh, she was so fucking bland in those scenes when she first met Roddy Piper.
Yeah, and she, if you remember, she was in Masters of the Universe.
Yep.
As Evil Lyn. Exactly the same freaking character.
I would even say, like, the part where she knocked Roddy Piper upside the head with that glass, whatever, I think that caught me off guard so much is the fact that I didn't even find it believable how she did it.
No, I mean, Piper looks, he's buff. He's in great shape in this movie.
Yeah.
And she looks like a 130-pound woman.
Shit, if that, shit, I'd even go less than that. That's being granted there. And I don't know, she kind of cold cocked him easily to where, I don't know. I mean, if it was, I mean, is it really that easy to break through that glass fucking window like that?
I don't know. I mean, if she was maybe an alien, I would understand it, but she wasn't. She was just a collaborator. She just helped the aliens. That's it.
Yeah, because she just knocked him upside the head. She didn't push him out the window, right?
Right.
Yeah, he just went full force himself. I mean, I guess you got to be Roddy Piper size to do that or whatever. You would think they would reinforce that glass because it is a big ass glass to our house, so anyone could break the damn thing if it's like that. Then, but I guess I still can't decide if it was New York or L.A. That house looked like it was in L.A., but the streets of it looked like it was in New York.
Yeah, it's considered LA.
Is it L.A.? Okay.
Yeah.
I would even say it even kind of some glimpses of looking like Chicago at times too.
I mean, it could have been multiple cities, you don't know.
Yeah, Piper was just high throughout the whole film, basically. So where the fuck would Roddy Piper come walking from?
Oh, I don't know.
What city would he come from? Yeah, I know, it sounds like we're talking a lot of shit about the movie. I actually did enjoy the movie, so. That's what we do here. We find pieces to take apart.
Yeah, because we're voice of the voiceless.
Damn straight. Gotta talk about the bullshit here. And I don't know, that first half was kind of, I don't want to say misguiding, but
It is because
definitely some From Dusk Till Dawn shit going on here.
I mean, you had the black preacher who was blind, right?
Yeah, which I didn't find out till the cops started beating him.
And what
Did
he
you
would
know he was blind at the beginning of the film?
No.
Yeah, I didn't either. I was just like, damn, is he blind or something? Oh no,
No.
you didn't find out he was blind until he grabbed Roddy Piper and he was looking up in the sky and shit. I was like, damn, is he blind or something? What the fuck wrong with him?
And what he was saying was being transferred to the TV, and Piper saw it because the TV kept getting, the hackers kept hacking into the TV stations and saying about, and that was just weird because it said nothing about aliens. It said, just said, you know, they want us to live their life.
Yeah, what was that about?
I don't know. That's why I said it's a totally different movie when that happens.
Like, did any of that have anything to do with the whole alien invasion thing that was going on?
No.
And like, were these guys that were there at that little place I was watching TV, were they? How the fuck did they plug that TV up? What did they plug that up into?
I thought so too. I'm like, where do you get your electricity from?
Like, there's a whole outreach community for bums, apparently. As a matter of fact, these are the cleanest looking bums I've ever saw, too, by the way.
Especially that one drifter who was a collaborator with the aliens at the end.
Yeah.
He was all shaved and looked like he was like $1 million and stuff.
I was like, where the fuck are these facilities at so I can go get me a free dinner real quick?
Yeah. You would help aliens.
Oh fuck yeah, I would turn on us in a heartbeat. Especially if they told me, look, they'd be like, look, you gotta help us or not. I'd be like, look, man, I got a lot of work as it is now. I don't need more work or whatever. It's like, either you're gonna help us or we're gonna stick this probe up your asshole. What do you need me to do? Need me to sell Z, Wayne, and Luke and Cody? All right, there you go. You can have all four of them. I don't give a fuck. Take them all. And then you guys would be like, what the hell's going on? Save me, P1. I'd come out there and be like, look, it's either going up my ass or y'all ass. Okay?
And you're the one shoving it up our ass.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, wait a minute, I got to do what now? I asked y'all, what up y'all ass? I'd be like, y'all got like 30,000 aliens on this ship. Why I gotta do it?
It's gonna be like the human centipede.
Oh, God. I gotta create the human centipede with you four. That's what it is.
Yeah, pick the last one.
You motherfuckers will be dead. Didn't we get that question before?
Think so.
Yeah, who we put at the end of a God.
I don't want to think about that. That just
Why
makes me,
not?
it makes me relive that movie.
Oh, the third one came out this year,
I
so
know. And that's like,
I'll
what, a
watch it.
hundred? That's like 100, isn't
Yeah, it's got 100% on, I think. You know, it's good.
it? Yeah, no. No, I
You
don't
want to
want
go
to really.
watch it?
No.
Okay. You love that one we saw.
No, I didn't.
Remember you talking about the scariest shit you ever saw in your life?
Close to it.
Well, yeah, it makes you wonder what the fuck is wrong with German people.
I know. And I want to know what the fuck's up with Carpenter, because he wrote this thing. Obviously...
I did not know that. I knew he directed it, but I knew he didn't write it. I still don't get how Carpenter fit this into his schedule. All I guess it is Aliens. He's known for Aliens.
Universal obviously had no faith in this movie whatsoever.
Apparently not, because they didn't even give him enough money to finish the damn thing. Because I remember telling you earlier, it's like, that was the reason why they didn't finish it. Because I've heard Carpenter say that they just didn't have the budget to finish it. I was just like, why didn't you just cut some shit out then, like half of that, like a little bit of that first half then of him just walking and shit like that and probably just attached on it an ending? I don't know.
I mean, what was the CG, what was the $3 million go to? I mean, the aliens look like skeletons.
Yeah, dude, I was about to say, the aliens look like shit. I mean, because it started advancing. I don't know if it was because he was taking the glasses off quick or what was it, but the aliens at first looked okay, and then the later it came on, they just looked like dudes in body suits and shit like that.
And the CG, those little cameras that were above them, those were the worst CGI things I've ever seen in my life.
Damn, that's the worst CGI.
I mean, you could tell it was so horrible. They did not blend in. They did not blend in. I know how to do that stuff. They did not blend it in. Obviously, CGI exists because Star Wars and bullshit like that.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Star Wars came out like years before this. I mean, every day had 2 hours before this movie came.
So, they actually had something. And it's Universal. Universal, at the time in the 80s, was huge.
Well, shit, it's still huge.
To this day, yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, this year alone, they made about, fucking $3-4 billion.
Yeah, so Universal wasn't a startup at the time.
Universal is one of the biggest fucking working studios out today. Mm-hmm. And back then, it made some of the films that, like, I guess were the movies that we grew up to and shit.
Yeah, they had Jaws, Back to the Future,
Jurassic Park,
you're gonna hate me for saying this, but Fast and the Furious,
unfortunately, yeah, but
Bourne, you
know, it is making their money, I guess.
Yeah, so
this year they had Minions, Fast and Furious, and Jurassic World, and they had some other things too. I don't remember what it was in the summer, but yeah, they've been, I think their only failure this year was Ted too, but I don't think they give a fuck.
No. They're just like, oh, it's a tax write-off. Oops.
Yeah, you know why? I didn't give a fuck, because Jurassic World the next week made its money back for it.
Yeah, so...
I think Universal is competing with Universal this year, this summer at least.
Seth MacFarlane was like, thank you, Jurassic World.
Because every week they just kept releasing shit. It was this summer's been Disney and fucking Universal. Because as soon as Inside Out came out, 2-3 weeks later, Minions came out, and that's got like what, 900 million worldwide and shit. So yeah, they making, that's like $3 billion right there with three films: Furious 7, Jurassic World, and Minions.
Yeah. So, I just don't know why. I mean, I think it might have been the cast, because Piper was just wrestling. I'm sure wrestling, even though it was big in the '80s, I don't think it was taken seriously.
I don't think they was paying them that much either.
Well, especially Piper, because this was his leading role debut. And Keith David, nobody knew. Meg Foster, I think she was a soap opera actress. But Carpenter is a name. He did Halloween thing, Christine, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he's obviously developed a pretty nice career for himself.
This must have been a throwaway film for them. Or him, for that matter.
Do you think this... Here's a question. Do you think this was a contracted film? You know what I mean? Like, he had a contract with Universal that he had to make so-and-so money at films.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's actually a good question. I'm pretty sure he probably did have a contract like that, and this is probably before he got big. We've heard about directors that today have contracts like that, that they had. I forgot which one recently he had to make a movie with. I think it was Fox or Universal, one of those. I think it was Fox or Universal that he had to make a movie with them, even though he didn't fucking want to, because he didn't want to make that movie. And this guy was particularly big too. And, you know,
that was this year, I think, wasn't it?
I think it was this year or last year. I think I want to say like earlier. I think it was last year.
I think I remember the story. I just can't remember the movie or the director.
Yeah, cause if I'm not mistaken, either me or you talked about being coded. One of us talked about.
But it wasn't good. I remember the movie wasn't good.
Yeah, Yeah, it was shit anyway. I don't even think they gave it like that wide a release. I think it released it like in 1500 or 2000 theater because he was like, I don't give a shit to release it or something like that.
So
and I remember either he had two movies out as well that year that were great, and that was the only one that was shit.
So yeah, this could have been a contracted film because this obviously literally came out of nowhere with him.
Well, did he do any other films with Universal? Because his other films weren't Universal films, were they?
Let me check Big Trouble, Little China. That was this big one before that.
Oh, fuck yes. I forgot about that one.
That was Fox.
Yeah, I don't think that was Universal. A lot of those films were Fox, mainly.
Universal was Prince of Darkness.
I don't even remember that film.
That was right before. Columbia was Christine. Mm. Let me go After They Live. It was Warner Brothers.
It could have been one of those things where he probably didn't think his career was going to be as big as it was, and he just signed a contract with certain studios, and then this studio saw how big he was getting and said, hey, don't forget, you signed this guy, you got to make a movie with us.
The Thing was Universal.
But the thing about that, though, is that doesn't make sense if they did do that, though, because then why would they give him such a low budget, then?
Well, they did. Back to the Future was the movie.
It must have been the movie.
Because this obviously picked up, this movie now, currently, They Live picked up based because Roddy Piper died. Everyone went to revisit this movie.
Yeah, I'm hearing people quote that line, I got bubblegum and ass to kick.
No, I'm here for bubblegum and to kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
I heard that line twice this week.
So, that's obviously, that movie picked up. Obviously, their royalty checks came in for this movie.
After
watching it, but maybe you're right. Maybe it was because the stars, and maybe Carpenter's like it's something. It's obviously something different with him.
How much money did you say to me?
15.
15? Maybe just can get a wide theater release.
Maybe.
I don't know what the widest of theater releases back in the '80s were though. So.
It only had 1,400 theaters.
Oh, shit, that's low.
That's extremely low.
I mean, that's damn near, if it would have been 400 less, that would probably have been damn near limited in some parts or whatever. But, yeah, because usually the quota for wide release mainly is 2,000 and plus.
So. Yeah, and that was opening weekend. So, obviously, it only made $4 million in its opening weekend. So, obviously, it dropped handsomely the next weekend.
That's probably they've had to have a contract thing with you're right, they probably had a contract with what's his name, god damn it, I'm blanking on his fucking name now. For some reason I want to keep saying Wes Craven because I got that goddamn movie on my mind for some reason. Not Wes Craven, fucking John Carpenter. And they probably saw that movie, the script or whatever, and said, yeah, look, we have faith in you, Carpenter, but we only going to give you about this amount of money to make whatever this shit is work somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's better to have a great director make some stupid shit work than have a bad director and give him a bad film.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah. It opened number one.
Shit, probably only had, the Sands of Rocks to go up against or some shit like that.
U2 movie, Everybody's All American, Halloween 4. But 4 million was what it made opening weekend, and that was number one. That cannot happen nowadays. That cannot happen.
It came a long goddamn way, Dan, of making money. Shit.
So obviously it made its budget back that first week, but then it dropped.
I was going to the movies back then, though, in the 80s.
It was terrible. I remember it.
Probably like fucking $5 or something.
Yeah.
Right, less than that. So, obviously it ain't going to make that huge of a profit. I mean, the reason why most of the time a lot of these movies make the money that they make is because they sell an IMAX tickets or 3D tickets or something like that. You know, those are like $20 a pop or something like that. And now you're getting a more wider audience to go see these films as well. So, most of those come from ticket prices alone that they're 15 and higher depending on what time you go see it. And most people go see movies after matinee times.
Yeah, and They Live was only in theater for 4 weeks.
God damn.
And that happens a lot nowadays. When it doesn't produce, they pull it.
Yeah, yeah.
They pull it. I think Gallows was pulled after the second week.
Yeah, that's pretty much like a lot of horror films. The constant, because they usually end up in the top five, then they vanish, and then they're gone, and then they just pull it, because why waste the money on something that nobody's going to go see when it already made its money back, so fuck it. I mean,
yeah, you're probably going to make more. You're probably going to make more in DVD sales.
Yeah, exactly. So why spend more money to keep it in theaters when it already made its money back and then some? Just take it out, and especially when it's going to get creamed by the bigger summer films that are coming out.
So, you know, it made its money back, so it's not a bust, but 80s compared to now, totally different.
Yeah, fuck yeah. If you tell me 4 million was number one, goddamn.
Shit. Yeah, that's, I mean, now in August, you know, what was it? This past weekend, Mission Impossible only had like 26 million or whatever, and that won the weekend. I'm like, that's low for summer.
Yeah, that's not low for summer. Last week it made 60 something. What are you talking about?
For the weekend?
Yeah, last week it made 60. This is the second week Mission Impossible has been out.
But it finished number one and it made 29.
What's wrong with that?
That's low.
That's not low. It made on its opening weekend 60 million.
Yes. But I'm saying it's...
The second week it made 29 million.
But I'm saying it because it's summer. It's low for that to be the number one movie.
Every movie makes half of what they had the second week.
Correct.
That's half of what it made the first week.
And with, I don't want to say a big movie, but...
Jesus Christ, man. That's basic business movie ethics right there. What are you talking about?
Well, I was going to say, even with Fantastic Four opening up, but...
29 million off a second week or whatever of a Mission Impossible film? That sounds about just right to me.
Well, I'm looking, like, through the years, August is not a big box office year. Or...
Bullshit, but keep going. Okay, you probably just need to get off the box office talk now. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I do this a weekly thing. Listen to movie spoilers, motherfucker. What? And I actually handle the box office. So, yeah, that's a shut the fuck up. You know what the hell you're talking about. That 29 low on the second weekend. What the hell?
What did you said the ending ended abruptly? What did you think? Were you kind of surprised he died, Piper?
No, not really. I wasn't surprised he died. I don't think, once the second act kicked in, I don't think anything caught me off guard really. I think that's probably what's okay about the first act is that it has a lot of leading up to. But the thing about the second act is once it kicks in, I don't want to say it goes to generic territory, but it goes into a territory that you can kind of predict coming in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he should have died, but at the same time, I think it's cool that he died because you know, you don't really get to see that a lot on a film. So yeah.
And he won too. He technically.
Well, he's probably where he's going.
Yeah, he technically won. He won because he destroyed their whatever they're doing to have people not see the aliens.
The gay porn casting.
Yeah, and did you see the people's reaction when they were looking at them? They're like. The newscaster, like, Barbara, you look terrible. I'm like, what? They're aliens. Act like they're aliens.
They had the most dumbfounded looks on their fucking face or whatever. So I don't know, some of the dialogue in here wasn't that great either, though.
No, besides Piper's? No.
Yeah. I don't even know if that's because of his delivery or what, but, yeah, well, shit, even some of his dialogue was terrible, too, but it was just funny. Like, in that fight scene, come on, now, some of his dialogue was terrible, but he delivered it in a way where it was funny as shit. Especially that look in his eye.
Yeah, that was a weird look. I noticed that, too.
Good look he had in his eye. He looked like he was fucking crazed or something.
But, you know, he shoots out the satellite, he gets shot by the copter, he flips off the copter, which I thought was a fitting end to his character. Like a big fuck.
Wait, did that look like he flicked the cop off? It looked like it was his index finger.
I think he flipped him off. It looked like he did.
Yeah, it looked like his index finger. I was staring at it, I was like, damn, is that his middle finger, or has he got some fucked up fingers? It's always been my dream to flick a cop off, but I don't want to get shot, so.
But I thought that was a fitting end for his character.
Yeah. The second act is very fun, man. It gets a lot of imaginative ideas. I think it's really fun. I think the pacing in here It's odd at first, but I think it gets the idea of what is going on here and stuff like that. I mean, towards the end, they really didn't know what the fuck they were doing with that ending. That ending does just, it comes out of fucking nowhere, literally. But I don't know. I had a lot of fun watching the film. My curiosity rose to another level of wanting to see where it goes and stuff. And obviously, when I watched it when I was 12, I didn't know what the fuck was going on, I'm not gonna lie. But, you know, now watching it as an adult, there was never once where I looked at the movie and was like, oh, this movie, I hate it or anything like that. I thought it was fun. I probably can see myself watching this again, but not on a weekly basis. Maybe like every other month or something like that, and maybe like once or twice a year or something like that. Because obviously it's not going to show on TV. And if it did, I wouldn't give a shit anyway because I don't really watch that much TV. But overall, I think Roddy Piper was fantastic. I thought he was great. Some of his character choices that he made was a little 180 shift jumps there and there, but I don't know, something about the curiosity of what's going to happen now and there, I think is what kept me going. He had a lot of charming personalities to him, because I was just waiting for him to smash a coconut over Keeks David's head.
That would have been funny. I'm not going to lie.
A coconut in that trash can and smash it over his head, that would have been hilarious.
And why did, when he broke the back window of the car, why did that piss Keith David off? Because he's been walking the whole time. That's not his car.
Keith David was pissed this whole movie.
He was.
Especially after the whole binocular thing brought to him, man, he just mad the whole fucking movie. Like, even in the fight scene, whatever, he's like, here's your first week's of money, whatever. And then Roddy just says, put these glasses on. He's just like, I told you, you need to just go stay and hide and stay where no one can find you. And I was like, damn, Keith, why are you getting all mad and shit?
I really do like Keith David, and I really do like him a lot.
He's an angry black guy in this film.
Which is typical, but he was a good counter, he was a good, I don't want to say buddy, but he was a good guy for Piper to play off of.
He's alright.
Well, imagine it was someone else.
I don't think it would have mattered, they could have got anybody for that. It's not like Keith David really did a whole lot in here.
No, but better than some people, probably.
I will say the best thing about the Keith David was just the fight scene.
Yeah, and I that really pissed me off that he pretty much dies out of nowhere. I thought that was so stupid.
Yeah.
And especially from her. Especially from Meg Foster. That was like, fuck us. Fuck you.
Meg Foster had no personality in this film whatsoever.
No, I think that's just her in general.
Yeah, she's a boring-ass woman. Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
She didn't smile. She just had the same blank expression. Her line delivery was terrible.
I mean, even in the house scene where she's supposed to be frightened by Roddy Piper, or even in the car scene, she's supposed to be frightened by Roddy Piper, she had no expression whatsoever.
No.
She's talking to him as if she fucking knows him or whatever.
Yeah, and that... Yeah.
I don't think she was acting at all in this film.
I think it's just a paycheck for her.
That must be nice, then. She must have been getting dick from somebody in here.
Yeah.
Well, final thoughts, Z.
Movie, second half, the second act, it's perfect, you know, it's fun, it's interesting. There is some downside, like that whole portal thing where they went underground, that just got confusing, came out of nowhere and got confusing.
Oh yeah, it did come out of nowhere.
it never,
a lot of shit in this movie that just came out of nowhere.
It never explained anything too, and that's the shitty part.
It never explains nothing in this film.
The first half is god-awful boring. It really is. It takes so long. I was bored at the first half because it's. Yeah. I know you got to develop you got to have some character backstory and some little development.
Did you really develop a character in that beginning?
He's like you said. He's just a working man. That's all he does. He wants to work.
Yeah, and that doesn't really play up into the second half. So.
No. So I think, I mean.
Predator didn't do that, though. I mean,
no, it took what? 40, almost an hour for Predator to even show up?
I was going to say, well, the characters they had in there, they didn't develop any of those guys. These guys had fucking macho lines, like, I don't got time to bleed and shit like that. But it was still fun.
Yeah, when Predator show up, yeah, that was fun as fuck.
Yeah, that was another movie that did a 180. You know what the fuck they were going on. I was like, damn, this is a whole fucking, this is a monster movie now. Shit. Yeah, I mean, then obviously this movie was in the realm of, like, Predator and the rest of them, where, you know, it just went out all-out action blast, supposed to have a good time type of deal. So I don't think you really needed a backstory. I mean, it ain't like this movie was trying to make a message or anything like that. If it was, I didn't catch on to it.
I'm gonna give it a run it.
Okay.
I would say brave through the first part of the movie, and then just have fun with the second half. When Piper loses his shit, that's when it turns into fun.
Yeah, it does. Because nobody knows how to lose their shit better than Roddy Piper.
Exactly.
I'm gonna give it a high rent. I think I enjoyed it a little bit. This movie has a lot of fucking problems. That's for sure. Has a lot of fucking problems. But there's some excitement to get out of it. I do agree with Z. He kind of says it is kind of where he says boring. I'd probably say more pointless for me. The opening half, at least. All that shit was just pointless. It led to nothing. It had no detail to add on to the second half of the film here. It's like, yeah, like Z said, it's just a working man. So it's like, what the fuck is the point? And then this whole, I guess, trying to build this relationship with Keith David and him, I personally didn't even need that, to be honest. I mean, because it felt forced or whatever. What's that non-acting bitch's name again?
Meg Foster.
I always forget her name. Meg Foster, she's terrible in this film, too, by the way. She is just god-awful terrible.
That is actually probably the worst casting choice.
She is the first of many actresses to come today who just can't act and has no personality and don't blend in or anything like that. She started the Kristen Stewart era of days and stuff like that.
Kristen Stewart uses her as a role model.
Yeah, you know, this girl is probably role model a lot of people. I would damn near even say Jennifer Lawrence nowadays, too, that's for that matter. Oh, I'm going to get my shit mail for that one now, because, you know, people love Jennifer Lawrence or whatever, but sorry, she's fucking boring in Hunger Games, so shows no emotion or personality whatsoever. Yes, I'll give it a higher rent. I hate the beginning as much as you probably did. And now that you're hearing you talk about it more, I do find it to be actually kind of pointless now. It's kind of get to the point of the thing. I think when it gets to the point, though, it kind of gets to keep the ball rolling. The problem with keeping the ball rolling, though, there's a lot of unexplained shit that just happens. And it kind of comes out of nowhere, like Z said earlier. And I don't know if that's just that goofiness or that keeps going, but you could probably tell they didn't give a fuck about this when they was making this.
No, it wasn't obviously a cash cow, but, you know, it probably took a lot for movies not to make their budget back in the 80s.
Yeah, I'm about to say. Because obviously movies were a big deal to people in the 80s. That's all they had anyway. So, drugs.
And drugs.
Yeah, they were probably watching this movie on drugs.
Maybe.
How many times do you think Roddy Piper watched this movie?
His lifetime?
Yeah.
Probably about 50 to 100.
Okay, that sounds about right. Yeah, he probably showed everybody that came to his house and shit.
Yeah, he's probably just, you know, hang posters up and had DVDs everywhere. This is his biggest movie.
Unsold DVDs.
Not no more.
Nobody gave a fuck about it. Nobody gave a flying fuck about this shit. So until today. Okay, Z, let's get into some questions now, though, man. That was a great review.
Yeah, good movie.
That was an awesome review we just did right now, right?
We'll see.
We're going to be exhausted by that time. But Jan, she says, this is from last week's show. It says, so are you saying this is better than the Raid 2 P1? Yes, I am saying that, Jan.
Ooh.
Yes, I'm saying that. I've been saying that for the long. I've been saying Ip Man 2 is the best martial arts film out there. Yep. I stick by that, and I will continue to say it is the best martial arts film out there. The best story told, the most depth told, the better fight scenes. It is fucking incredible what they do with that. That is the best martial arts film overseas, period.
Raid is good on it differently than Ip Man. Ip Man.
Yeah, I don't think they really compare. No. Because Raid, I would say, like, Ip Man is more. How can I put this? Ip Man is, I guess, more going for a historical factor of it. So they try to capture it like a realistic time war, where Ip Man 2 is more. Basically, let's put it this way. Hitman is more of like the Jackie Chan style.
And
the Raid is more of like a Jet Li style. Seems more futuristic and shit like that as far as the fight scenes and stuff go like that. They look hard to pull off, but yet they are able to pull off if you fucking know martial arts that well or something.
Yeah.
Hitman 2 is more, I would say, grounded in a way.
Yeah, I mean, they both have certain aspects that make the movie great. But you can't compare the two. I don't think Raid 2 is a pure martial arts movie.
Which, Raid 2 or Hitman 2?
Raid 2.
Shit, I would even say damn near... Well, I guess Hitman 2, yeah, it kind of does, because the ending wraps its way around martial arts, so yeah, I guess so.
But both movies are great. Don't get me wrong. I love both movies.
Well, yeah, you know, you actually bring up a great point, though. Is The Raid really a martial arts film? Because there are stories told in them. It's just that they just so happen to know martial arts as well.
I would not put Raid 2 as a martial arts movie, no.
I could see that then. Yeah, that is a good point because they don't base like because basically Rama, the main actor, he's a cop. They just so happen to know martial arts very well, and that's how they instead of shooting someone, that's how they kind of get down. And then as far as where Ip Man 2 is, or Ip Man, the whole series, whatever, is just based around martial arts. I mean, that's all they talk about.
Yeah, the style fighting. Yeah, so.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Ip Man. I mean, Raid kind of people. More the action style of martial arts, if that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, and the story was easier. Actually, both had different stories too, but if I had to pick between the two, it's very tough to pick between the two. Yeah. I might actually go for Hitman.
Yeah, I think Hitman is just that better of a quality of a film. That's up to put Raid 2 down. Raid 2 is fucking incredible, but I think Hitman 2 is You learn a lot from the film. There's a lot of death in there. You get to learn certain styles of martial arts and stuff like that. And that's not what Raid was trying to. Raid wasn't trying to teach you any goddamn thing about martial arts or whatever. Like you say, it was. I would even damn near say that the camera angles are just as good in Ip Man as it was in Raid as well.
Very much. Yep.
Yeah, I would say. And that last fight scene in Ip Man 2 was fucking incredible.
Yeah. And
last fight scene in Raid 2 was fucking incredible too. Rama got. I mean, those some badass fight scenes.
The back scene at the end with the in the hallway with
Fuck yeah! For the whole ending where when he drives the car into the place and then he beats all those guys, then he fights baseball bat.
God, I want to watch that movie again.
Yeah, I know, I do too now. And he fights Hammer Girl, then he gets into the last guy. I was waiting for Ken Watanabe to just say when they were crossing their legs together and shit. Let them fight.
Ken Watanabe.
I remember just sitting there and I was like, God, I mean, that could have been damn near the They Live fight scene, too, because it just kept going. Man. I was just like, oh, okay, damn. Are we going to end this shit?
And Hammer Girl had glasses, too.
That's right, yeah. Hammer Girl, her blind ass.
Put the glasses on.
Put the fucking glasses on. He smashed that bat into that dude's face.
Yeah.
Oh, man, God, you know, I think I'm going to watch that now when I get back.
I definitely want to see it again.
Yeah, I love the fuck out of that end. That ending is fucking, the fight scenes in there. Just,
I might watch them both. Shit. I might watch Raid 1 and 2.
Yeah, I fucking will too. You know, I got to order some pizza now when I get back. Got to put on the Raid 1 and 2. The Raid marathon's about to kick off now, people. God damn, those movies. These martial arts films, or these action films, are just so fucking incredible. I mean, they're so much better than gunplay films, too, now, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like when in Expendables 3, where Stallone was talking about, this is like the Raid of the Expendables films. It's just like, none of you motherfuckers are doing hand-to-hand combat in here, whatever, and you got people like Ronda Rousey and shit like that in here who does hand-to-hand combat, and yet everybody's shooting a gun in here. Gunplay for a fucking hour is boring after a while.
It is. That's why the raid's so good, is because it incorporates both.
Yeah, if you're just doing gunplay for a fucking hour, it's gonna be like, okay, how long can you do something clever with shooting someone? That's the thing about the Raid, is where the martial arts is, it amps itself up to different levels every fight scene.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what you get out of each one. Where if it's just like when you're just shooting someone, it's just like, cause it's not really a clever way of shooting someone unless you slide around a room with some shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
But next one comes from Pack. He says, does American martial art movies give the culture a black eye?
Abso-fucking-lutely.
I don't think so.
Oh, can you name an American martial arts movie?
I got one. The Last Dragon. Bruce Leroy.
Well, you remember in the, what was it? It was right after Karate Kid, they had like American Kickboxer, Bloodsport.
Oh yeah, it became kind of a joke.
Yeah.
It became just kind of a silly 80s action film and shit like that. It was in the vein of, like, Rambo and shit like that.
Yeah, I mean, Black Eye, yes, because I don't think American filmmakers take it...
serious?
Serious, yeah. They don't embrace the culture.
I think they depict it that American audiences, which I don't know where they would get this from, they would probably get bored or tired from it.
Fuck no.
Because then you get, like, well, yeah, I'm with you on that one. Because you got these action films where we talked about this last week, they do these fucking quick cuts and shit like that. And obviously we know it's just because the main actor don't know fucking martial arts or something like that. But at the same time, it's like, I have to use this example again. It's like, I already know these Taken movies are stupid. I'm going there to see Liam Neeson beat the shit out of people.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking that away from me. So you're kind of giving yourself a fuck it when you do that, because it's like, okay, I know your story is stupid and it's the same thing going on here or whatever, but let me see Liam Neeson be a badass and beat the shit out of you. But now that you're doing these quick edits and cut with it, it's like, you want me to give this a fuck it, don't you?
You're making a bore. You're actually disorienting the viewer with those quick cuts.
Yeah, exactly. You're taking the I mean, some people like to see... I ain't gonna say some. All people like to see dumb, mindless action or something like that. But I mean, you can get points just for making a fight scene look cool as shit, yeah, especially mm-hmm. if it's well choreographed. And I don't think American directors have gotten there. I mean, the guy that did The Raid 2, I keep getting his name mixed up with the nigga that did Godzilla, and I don't want to do this. I'm just gonna say Gareth. that guy has a true art of how to film his shots and shit like that, because. Man, he filmed the fucking bathroom stall fight scene where you can see everything. I mean, that guy's incredible.
Yeah, he should teach some classes here.
Yeah, I really wish they would give him a Batman film, because Batman's all about hand-to-hand combat, and I think he would fucking show how a fight scene is really done in a Batman film, which is something we have yet to see now in a film where just see two people beating the shit out of each other in a Batman film. Especially in the Dark Knight trilogy, it's like, what the fuck was all that training for in the first one? If you never was going to use any of that.
Yeah, and then what? There is not much hand-to-hand combat in the second one.
And then in the third one, he uses it and is ineffective, and you're just like, well, what was the point then?
Yeah, like, yeah, you're right.
What was the point of teaching him all this martial arts combat when he didn't even fucking use it? I mean, even, because you would think when he fought Liam Neeson at the end, there would be like, because, I mean, that's the dude that showed him that I'm going to use it, whatever. You thought there would have been, like, some great hand-to-hand fight scenes in there. But it was like, no, it was just a brawl. It was like a beat-down, punched brawl or whatever. It was just like, damn, so what was the point of you learning all that different style of martial arts in that mountain and shit then? It was a waste of your fucking time, really.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, you damn near Nolan's Batman says almost damn near anyone could have been Batman.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, because it was just like, he didn't really do anything outside of, like, you know, detective worker style. Or, I mean, he basically said if you had money, you could have been Batman.
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman, that's right, yes. And that's one thing, I feel like we're getting, every Batman film, we're getting closer and closer to seeing something of how Batman should be. And I don't know if we'll get the hand-to-hand martial arts combat in this new Batman series or whatever. Hopefully we do. Because that would be a style. I know we got the look down of Batman now, whatever. But I'm just waiting for that Batman where he finally gets the martial arts down. And I think this guy that did The Raid 2 would be fucking incredible. Or even I forgot his last name, but Christopher, I forgot his name. The dude that just did the last Mission Impossible film.
Oh.
He did some great fucking shots of underwater scenes and stuff like that. I was just like, Aquaman needs to look like this. Cause this looks fucking incredible right here. I was like, God, this water scene here is fucking incredible how it's shot, and you see all the action going on and stuff like that. Everything in here looks great.
Well, you got, I mean, but you got to think, Warner Brothers is going to be like, we're going to do it our way, you know? That's the bad thing about studios like that. Obviously, let's even go to Fox with Fantastic Four, when the director rips the fuck out of his own movie.
Well, yeah, because, you know, Fox is one of the ones that usually doesn't. It's usually one of the studios that doesn't really get involved in their films or whatever. And Fox then said, man, we've been trying to get rid of his ass because Josh Trank fucked that movie up completely. And, you know, it's dumb to say that all those rumors about him was true. He's hard to work with. Nobody wants to work with him. He's kind of a pain in the ass and stuff like that. He was being hard-headed or whatever, or Fox even had to step in. And Fox was just like, okay, we don't want to step in. So if they wouldn't have signed that contract, they were ready to fire his ass on the spot. Because last year, they were talking about throwing his script out and firing him because he was so fucking difficult to work with. Apparently, his fucking dogs came on the set and destroyed it and shit like that.
Yeah.
Just like, this dude was just a fucking hassle and a pain in the ass or whatever. And I don't know where he got this ego from or whatever it was and shit, because he only had one fucking movie beforehand. It wasn't a big film, but it made some decent amount of money. But I don't know where the fuck he came from with this shit. Now he's trying to claim, I quit from Star Wars. It's like, no, the fuck you did. You got fired.
It's still, like, I haven't seen Fantastic Four yet, but from the reviews and stuff.
That movie's terrible.
I still can't believe he directed Chronicle.
The movie is fucking terrible. It really fucking is. The best thing about Fox in this right now, though, I have to say, as bad as that movie is there is hope for the sequel because Fox is already wanting to get someone else on it.
Yeah.
So, there's hope for it.
Not much.
The problem with Josh Trank is he tried to make this shit Chronicle 2.
Yeah, I think you said that before you even saw the movie.
Yeah, he even said it himself. He was just like, I'm not trying to make a Fantastic, I was trying to make a Chronicle 2, make this seem like a Chronicle 2. And everybody's looking at him and it's just like, even Fox had to step in and go like, yeah, man, this don't feel like, and Fox even had ghost directors and writers come in, like Matthew Vaughn and Bryan Singer. Bryan Singer's even came off and shit, whatever. And you can tell the parts what they did in the film, too. You're just like, yeah, that feels like Bryan Singer did this. It's just like, wow. Maybe, I'm afraid to go back and watch Chronicle now, to be honest. I haven't seen it in a while, so. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Throwback Tuesday will probably bring that film up and realize, well, this is shit. But I don't really think Chronicle was that hard to pull off.
No,
to be honest.
I don't think so.
I don't think this guy just didn't get Fantastic Four, to be honest. But I have hope for that film of the franchise, because Fox seems to know what they want out of it and stuff and how to get it right. They just need to find the right people that know what the fuck they doing with the material, and instead of this shit of saying, oh, I just want to make a sequel for another film I did, and all this other bullshit, you know, this guy is a straight up dick, I'm not gonna lie. You talk about egos, this dude, I quit Star Wars. No, the fuck you did. They fired your ass, be real. Nobody quits Star Wars, okay?
Yeah.
Nobody, that's a fucking career, I don't give a damn if that movie sucks, or is good, or whatever, that's a fucking career elevator right there, Star Wars.
Hmm.
Any director would be scratching at the goddamn wall to get that role. Anyone.
Yeah.
So that guy's full of shit. But last question I got here is from my boy Jack. You remember Jack last week, right?
Yes.
He was defending Interstellar. Loved Interstellar. Thought it was great.
I remember.
Yeah, I guess he don't feel that same sentiment then. But he says, Interstellar was an incredible film. Based on the reviews of it, I feel like none of you paid attention to the film. And I would assume he's talking about, based on the reviews of it, so he's talking about a lot of people then. Not about, oh, well, no, I don't think it's not that we paid attention. I just think that the film wasn't that good. That's what it was. He says, just because the plot and science of the film confuse you, that doesn't make the film bad. I understand how it may not be on somebody's favorites list, but I cannot understand why Z, for example, could put it so low on his list. What number was it on your list again?
Three or
four, okay. Also, TPO is right about Zimmer, though he is a good composer. He's not very original in his compositions.
You're right.
Yeah, man, it's just
Interstellar, I mean, like, with Zimmer, because he does so many fucking movies. I think he does, like,
sound the fucking same. Well, you know what, the thing about his composing is, he does the same composing for films that kind of have the same background look to it. Like Man of Steel. Interstellar, Inception, they all got that same camera light on it. You know, it's dark. Like, you know, you want to see him do something like a, man, I don't even want to throw this out here, but I'm just throwing it out. Like, you want to see him do something bright and colorful, like an animated film or a Marvel film or something like that. See what he would do with that shit, but it seems like he picks the same fucking looking films over again, you know?
Yeah, I noticed that too. But with Interstellar, it's not the science that confused me. The plot kind of took you everywhere. The plot moved you everywhere. That's the thing. It's the plot that confused me. The science, I don't like science. So, yeah, obviously it's going to confuse me, but the plot overweighed the science.
I do like science, and I still found it. Actually, you're right. Now that I'm trying to remember, the science wasn't what bothered me. It was that love shit at the fucking end of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's giving, because Matthew McConaughey's laying some science on her, talking about this is how we're going to go about it. Anne Hathaway pulls some bullshit about equations are we going off to go off this planet? And she's like, through this guy, whatever, and he's just like, no, that's some bullshit. You're going based off because you're in love with that guy, whatever. And she's like, don't you think that, you know, our human feelings is what can save him and mankind, shit like that? I'm just like, no. No, that's not at all, actually. For me, that is something Nolan, I know he's better than that, and I don't think he would write some lazy shit like that by saying, and then, because, you know, Matthew McConaughey laid it down on her and say, no, we're going to use this planet with the formula that the equation is right. And it turns out that planet was the wrong one, and it's just mm-hmm. like, really? Okay, so are we seriously going to say that the planet that Anne Hathaway said to go to was the right one because she had an emotional attachment to some guy, some shit like that? I'm like, are you fucking serious? I don't expect Nolan to write like that. It's lazy as shit to pull in some love shit that's just like, the power of love is going to save us. It's like, get the fuck up out of here with that shit, Nolan.
Yeah, he's... I'm not going to revisit the movie. And I really don't think my opinion might get worse if I watch it again.
Oh, because you're going to watch it at home and then you're going to fucking, you know, you're going to fucking depict it even worse then. So, yeah.
Yeah, but it's the plot. The plot's out there. It's too out there.
It's not that the plot is, and science is confusing. It's because it's no good.
No, this is obviously the weakest Nolan convoluted. Movie. The weakest Nolan movie.
Yeah, probably. So that shit, that plot easily gets convoluted.
It does.
Motherfucker. Really gets convoluted. Characters, it started making 180 changes and shit out of nowhere.
And we're not talking throughout the movie. We're talking the very next scene.
Yeah, like the very fucking next scene. Like, someone was saying that, oh, you know, well, Casey Affleck, you know, 30-year times have passed by, or whatever, so he can't change his mind and opinion. Not like that.
No.
You can't go from loving father and son to basically I'm beating the shit out of my wife now or whatever and I'll kill my sister if she gets in my way or whatever. It's just like, I need to see a reason for that. I just can't see one moment Casey Affleck smiling and shit like that, then next time we go back to space and we come back and he's sitting at the dinner table with his wife and shit looking at her and Jessica Chastain is like, well, what's going on with you two or whatever shit. He's just sitting there like, no, that's too huge of a change in a character to not be shown on screen what made that transition there.
Yeah, but...
It's just bad. Well, I don't know if it's editing or not or whatever. No, I don't want to see a longer fucking cut of this film, please. That film's long as it was anyway, shit. And as far as Zimmer go, man, that guy, he really needs to start picking different fucking films because as great, like you said, Jackie is or whatever, his shit is not getting original at all, and it's just starting to sound the same, actually. Actually, he's starting to become one of my least favorite composers nowadays. I remember when this guy was on top when he came out and shit, and, you know, hitting it down, but now it's just starting to look like the same shit over and over.
I agree with you.
Some people say that he needs to switch his music up. I think he needs to switch his film choices up, because I think easily his film choice would depict how he could switch his genre of music up with it, because he's picking the same dark tone looking films over and over again, and they have that same beat to it. It may sound different at first, but if you listen to it over, it has that same rhythm going for it or whatever. You're just like, yeah, Zimmer, you need to step your game up a little bit. I want to see him do something more lighter. Maybe he need to pull off a fucking Marvel film or an animated film or a next Die Hard film or whatever action film coming out or an Oscar film or something like that for that matter, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Well, we'll see. He does a lot of work, though.
Yeah, he does a lot of the same shit. All he does is fucking rehash the same shit over. I'm sorry. Actually, yeah. I'm starting not to like this guy as much as I thought I would now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's getting kind of He's good. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people love him, whatever. It's funny because everybody always say, oh, I'm looking for something new and different. It's just like, why the fuck you still like Hans Zimmer? You've been doing the same shit for I don't know how long now.
I agree.
Oh, and then Man of Steel. I think Man of Steel is when I finally cut him off. That was it. Because I was like, this score is cool. He played the fuck out of it, though, in that movie. I was like, god damn, dude. All right. I get the message now.
At least Inception had different styles for each scene.
What was that?
Inception had different styles for each scene.
Yeah, yeah. It felt like it played with more of the scenes.
Yeah, but he's just needs to break out and do something different.
He needs a different type of film, first of all.
Yeah.
I don't think he gives a shit, though, at this point, so no. I don't think it's gonna happen.
Nope.
So, people, well, that's the end of the show. That was the last question.
That's it.
Jack, you can tell us how much you loved Interstellar next week, man. I really appreciate how much you got your devotion to Interstellar. I actually love your devotion to it. The movie was some bullshit. But anyway, well, people, if you want to tell me how much you loved Interstellar or didn't like it, which I'll probably get both of each or whatever, then you can find so do that on Twitter. And I'm on there in the Twitter sphere of Movie Spoiler Pod. That's right. You can type that in. I'm there, whatever. You can follow me on Instagram, too, at Phenomenal01. I had set up an Instagram account about, a month ago and shit like that, and then I was like, wow, I need to tell people I'm on there. And I did, and fucking one night, I got like 1,000 followers and shit.
Awesome.
I was like, god damn, you spoiling bastards come out, don't you? And then also, if you need to tell me how much you loved Interstellar or hated it even more, because 140 characters is just not enough, or you can't do so in a photo, then you need to find me at Google+. And tell me all your best wishes about Interstellar. And you can do so by going ahead and typing in moviespoils_TPO, and that's where you'll find me there. Or if you're on YouTube already and you're logged in, just click on that little plus logo on the top of your right-hand corner or whatever, and it'll take you right there to your Google Plus account that you probably don't even know exists. Z, where can the people find you at?
They can find me at The Bird, a.k.a. Twitter.
Bird! Woo!
The Bird, at SBulldog99.
Birdman.
Google Plus, Chad_Zuber.
Nope.
And then also Facebook for Chad Zuber.
Oh, people. Well, that's the end of the show, like we said. That has been Throwback Tuesday, episode 111. I'm your spoiling host with the most, the Phenomenal One.
This is Z.
And we will be back next week for episode 112. Later, bastards.
See ya.
Now we start spilling some blood.
Let's go! But.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick. And I'm all out of bubblegum.